Chapter 8. Kate slammed on the gas, ignoring the cell phone. Probably Graham, again. She gripped the wheel and sped away from the motel like a madwoman. Rain pounded the car and bounced off the white hood. Her heart stuck in her throat. Every muscle tensed. She sped past the row houses lining the street, and teenagers crowded into a hoagie shop with a glass storefront. The counter was full at an open Dunkin' Donuts, and the signs of normal life let her breathe easier. Had she gotten away? Was she safe? The traffic light turned red, and Kate pulled up, checking for Elvis's van in the rearview mirror. No van. Her heartbeat slowed. He wouldn't come after her. She waited, calming, at the traffic light. Ring, ring. She looked over, and her cell phone had slid out of her purse onto the seat. Gina read the green letters glowing in the dark. Huh? Gina never called at this hour. It could be some emergency with Warren. Kate flipped the phone open. Jean? I saw on the news that... Wait, did I wake you? Gina said, and Kate felt sudden tears come to her eyes at the sound of her friend's voice. Everything was falling apart, and she finally felt safe enough to cry. Kate, what's the matter? I'm fine. Kate tried to hold it together. I really am. What happened? Did you see Graham tonight? Where are you? God knows. By the airport. Kate looked out the car window, but between the waterworks and the rain, she could barely read the sign. Ellsworth Avenue? A stupid pink motel? Can you believe this? What are you doing there? Screwing up my life. Kate wiped her eyes, but they kept welling up. This man I went with, he attacked me at the motel. I was almost raped. Gina gasped. Graham? Oh, the irony. No, someone else. Oh, my God, I'll meet you. I'll get the neighbor to sit. I'll be right there. No, don't. I'm going home. But you're upset. You can't drive. I can, too. This is ridiculous. I'm acting like a baby. Kate didn't know what was happening to her. Nothing was working. She was losing control. What about Warren? Is he okay? Fine. Go home, and I'll be right there. Drive carefully. Love you. Kate flipped the phone closed and accelerated, the windshield wipers working frantically. She drove ahead, but in the next minute heard a loud bobbling sound from the front of the car. A flat tire. Not my night. She hit the car's button for roadside assistance, and a female operator was piped through her car's speakers. We'll have a truck there as soon as possible, the voice assured her, echoing like the Wizard of Mercedes. Kate hung up, counting her blessings. She called Gina to tell her she'd be late, but there was no answer. She flipped the phone closed and waited in the driver's seat, wiping her eyes and trying to get over herself. It's easier to fix a flat than a life. An hour and a half later, Kate had reached her townhouse in Society Hill and pulled into her driveway behind Gina's brown Pathfinder. A plume of smoky exhaust rose from the back of the car. Gina must have been running the engine to stay warm all this time. Kate grabbed her bag and got out of the car. At least the rain had stopped. Kate! Gina burst out of her car, arms outstretched in her parka, and hurried to the Mercedes. What took you so long? I forgot my cell, so I couldn't call. Sorry. The truck took forever to come. What truck? Gina gave her a huge hug. I was so worried. I never heard you cry like that. Her expression looked stricken, and loose hair fell from its ponytail. This time, her trademark high drama was in order. What happened? It's a long story, Kate answered, and they went inside the house side by side. So that's it. All of it, Kate said, sitting at the round Moser table in her kitchen, behind coffee in her favorite mug. Halogen lights of multicolored Murano glass hung overhead on a track, making a cozy glow against walls of warm tangerine. She felt so happy to be home, safe in her kitchen and restored to her life. She told Gina everything and watched her friend's expression change from freaked out to extremely freaked out, though she merely listened in silence. But her brown eyes glistened when she heard what had happened at the motel. "You should call the cops on that bastard, I swear," Gina nodded angrily. "But you know you can't. It'd be all over the papers. I don't know if there's enough for attempted rape, legally." Kate felt raw and ugly. "So, you hate me now?" "No, not at all." Gina slumped in her chair, lost in her gray pen sweats. The plaid flannel collar of her pajama top stuck from her sweatshirt. "But I imagine you didn't tell me about these guys you go with. You wouldn't have told me about tonight if I hadn't called you. How long have you been doing this, you idiot?" Kate thought back. "About a year, maybe a year and a half." "From when you were at Beaker? You were a partner in a law firm." Gina shook her head in disbelief, and a dark curl fell from behind her ear. "I don't know why somebody so smart would do something so dumb." "Honestly, me neither." "That's not good enough, Kate." Gina smoothed her hair back. "You can do better than that. It's self-destructive." "So what's it about? You have dates." "That's not the same thing." "So why then? Think about it." Gina looked at her directly, in the frank way that was second nature to her, and Kate knew she was right. "It happens when I feel stressed. It's like some people reach for a drink or a drug. I pick somebody up." "Yuck. Thanks." "Are you a sex addict?" "No." Kate recoiled. "It's not like I do it all that often." "How often?" "Once a month at most. And in my defense, men have been doing it for centuries. Have you seen a Budweiser commercial lately?" Gina scoffed. "Oh, are you justifying it now? If you're so proud of it, why keep it a secret?" "Hey, stop being right. It's not about gender, it's about you. That behavior, it's not you." Gina shook her head, adamant. "You leave Graham, a normal man, a stockbroker who gave you something from Tiffany's, on the third date. That breaks all the rules. And you leave him to run to a rapist?" Kate fingered the bracelet, still on her wrist. "Never again." "You're stopping now? Swearing off working class hunks? How could you let yourself be used like that?" "I didn't see it that way." Kate considered it. "I guess I just feel more comfortable with that kind of man. Like my husband. I knew him from high school, remember?" "Barely. The construction guy?" "Yes. It's where I came from. I worked to get where I am. I wasn't born to it. My mother never went to college. I'm not the Ritz. I'm the Pink Motel." "You make fun of Dr. Phil. You should watch," Gina scowled. "You loved your mom, right?" "Yes, she was great. She was devoted to me. After my dad left, she got a job at my school in the office. It was her and me." Her mother had died right after Kate had graduated from college, and Kate missed her every day. "It was us against the world. She worked at my school for the principal. People thought we were trying to be better than them because she wanted college for me. She protected me against everything. The mean nun at school, the monster at night, everything." "She and your dad broke up when you were how old?" 3. "And you didn't see him again? No visitation or anything?" "No. He was gone." "You know all this. So obviously you have abandonment issues with men." "So what? Who doesn't?" Gina didn't laugh. "You're a smart woman, Kate. Let's figure this out. Something must have triggered this behavior. If it started a year and a half ago, what was happening then in your love life?" Kate could barely remember. "I was seeing that guy at Schneider. That one you hated? Mark, with a C?" "Narcissist alert. Watch out for French cuffs." "I told you, but you didn't listen." Kate smiled. "We broke up about that time. But I wasn't serious about him anyway. But wasn't that when they started talking about you for appointment to the bench? Kate thought back. Yes, Mark with a C was threatened by that, I remember you saying. He didn't want people calling him Judge Mark with a C. Kate smiled again. More or less, you remember my life better than I do. Thank you. You were kind of surprised when your name came up for the vacancy. You thought you weren't political. You didn't think you'd get it. Kate laughed. Oh, I knew I wasn't political. I didn't leave work early enough to vote, even. And they began the background check and evaluated your credentials before you could be confirmed. Maybe you were sabotaging yourself in a way. Worried they wouldn't find you qualified? You know better than that. The scrutiny for us isn't like for appellate judges. The confirmation hearing is pro forma. We're basically appointed. I knew I had the credentials, and I was a woman, which didn't hurt. It played out in my favor that I wasn't political. They were so polarized, I was the only one they all agreed on for the job. Maybe you didn't want the job. Kate blinked. Of course I wanted the job. What if you didn't? We've talked about that it's kind of lonely, and you can't see your old partners anymore. You loved the action in court. Aren't you a little ambivalent about being on the bench? How could I be? It's the peak of the profession. Every trial lawyer wants to be a trial judge. There's only 700 in the country, on the federal level. It's the ultimate promotion. That's not my point. Gina cocked her head. You really wanted the promotion. But did you really want the job? Oddly, Kate had never really thought about that. Being a judge was the best she could be, and she always wanted to be the best. I don't know. She shook her head, too tired to think, and shaken still. I guess I should get some therapy. Hello, you think? And meds, lots of meds. Gina smiled. And then so did Kate, rising. Okay, enough. Want more coffee? Kate crossed to the cabinet, retrieved a paper filter, and slotted it into the coffee maker. How's the baby? The neighbor's there. He won't even wake up. Great. Thanks for coming over. Kate dumped ground coffee into the filter and went to the sink to fill up the glass pot. Hey, why'd you call me in the first place? Another tantrum? No, it wasn't about him. I heard on TV about the fight in court. I figured you might be upset. Oh, that. Between the rape and the flat tire, I almost forgot. Kate flicked on the coffee machine, thinking of Mars. Is that what set it off?
Set what off?
Your little frolic and detour tonight? I'll ask my new shrink. Suddenly the phone rang, and they exchanged glances. Kate said, I'm not getting it. It's Graham, and I haven't had my therapy yet.
Ring.
It could be the sitter. She knows I'm here, and I left my cell at home. Sorry. Kate picked up quickly. Hello?
Judge, did I wake you?
Invaluable. Kate smiled with relief at Val's voice. What are you doing up so late on a school night?
Chief Judge Sherman needed to reach you, but he didn't have your number, so he called me.
What's up?
There's bad news.